Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Winter in nature might not look all that eventful compared to the other seasons, but January is apparently the ideal time now for us all to catch up, to dream and plan for the next year. And not only that, if you're one of those people who struggle with the dark winter months, and there are many of us who struggle during this time, you can find an antidote in the natural world if you're willing to take the time to look and to talk us through it all. I'm joined by Mari Staunton, gardener, and Cathy Donaghy, author and journalist, and you're both welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Mari, it has been really cold and it is hard to get outside into the garden, isn't it? Are you outside? Be honest now, in January yourself.
Well, I was just talking earlier about it's a great month for looking outside, isn't it? You know, you're looking outside thinking, yeah, I've got all my plans.
From inside.
From inside, yeah, exactly. Armchair gardening. But the problem is, if you don't do a little bit now, February comes and you're just against the clock for getting things done. So it's a few little kind of, I'm just mulching at the moment, cleaning up anything that I didn't kind of do before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. And I'm getting a few seeds in. I have a glass house, so I'm lucky there is a heated propagator, so I can get kind of started on chilies and stuff like that, because they're a long season crop. You know, you have to start them early. Sweet pea and stuff like that can go in now. So there is a few things, but it's a nice month to take out a magazine, a gardening magazine, have a look at it and decide what you're going to be doing in February.
So you're doing the groundwork and you're
exactly
planning.
Yeah, a coat of looking on, as my father-in-law would say, a coat of looking on.
Cathy, you're like a person I know who loves being outside, but you can't get around the fact that it's dark and it's cold and it can be difficult to get your foot outside the door.
That's true, Claire. I find January, I do struggle with it. I definitely find these dark mornings really, really hard to get motivated. But I do find that, you know, I need to get outside. I just need to feel the air. And there are, you know, there's lots of research around, you know, the amount of daylight, even on dark days, it's 100 times stronger and more powerful than you would get than, you know, if you're just sitting in the house. And I think it's always worth it when you do get out. This week, the last 10 days, really since the 1st of January, have been glorious sunrises. And, you know, I think if you can even just get outside, even for those few moments, those pockets of gleams or glimmers in the sky, and just be out and feel the air and just get out and witness what's going on. And one of the things that, you know, for nature lovers and anybody who wants to get out for a walk, even if you're just strolling through your woods or walking through your local church grounds, what is coming up now, and I've noticed the little heads popping up out of the ground, is the snowdrops are coming out. And I think for me, in these dark days of January, there is no more potent symbol of hope in the world than a snowdrop, you know, popping its head up out of the ground. There's sort of that, you know, that juxtaposition of their sort of gentle fragility and how they look, but how tough they actually must be to dare to put their heads above ground. And I know that gardeners and Mari will probably know this. They're known for their extreme behaviour, for just yeah, being willing to say, you know what, it's time, and to come up at this time of year. They're just so amazing.
Do you agree with that? They're known for their extreme behaviour.
Wholeheartedly. And it's one of those things, when you see them, you're kind of going, good luck to you. Fantastic. Great job. But there are, you know, there's a couple of places that you can go and see them in the most magnificent drifts. And Belfield in County Offaly is one of them, and Altamont. So they have their snowdrop weeks. So, and there are many snowdrops, and some of them cost an absolute fortune. But if you want to see them in their kind of natural habitat and the swathes of them, they are the places to go and mm-hmm. see. I'm sure there's loads of other places, but they are the place. But snowdrops, to me, herald spring, and they say the temperature in the ground has gone up a little bit. So we're getting ready.
And soon you're going to see the crocus then as
well,
aren't you?
Yeah, the crocus are next. And at the moment, there's cyclum and coom. So there's a lot of stuff happening. And that's why if you've cleared up some of the leaves, you'll be able to see some of those little flowers.
Okay, so you're talking, Cathy, really about reaping the rewards of getting outside. But Mari, do you feel the same about getting outside? Like, even though it's hard to do it, that the reward is worth it?
It is. I mean, you're almost having a fight with yourself before you go out. And then you go out for about 3 hours and you come back in, you think to yourself, wow, that was well worth the effort. And if it's a day like today where it's kind of milder, I mean, I love sunshine. So you've got the blue sky from yesterday, the day before, and it kind of just does encourage you kind of to get out and do a little bit. You don't have to do loads, because believe me, you'll feel absolutely wrecked if you do too much. You know, 3 or 4 hours is too much. couple of hours, maybe a half an hour even, just to get out.
Because the soil is, it could be frozen.
It could
very
be.
Cold days over the last while. Yeah. It could be waterlogged. Mm. It's not easy to do the groundwork
that
you were talking about.
And really you need to keep off, you know, when I'm out and at the moment and I'm mulching and stuff, I'm trying to keep off the main beds, because if you're compacting them now, it's going to be, you're squashing all the moisture and the air out of them. So just keep off them. You're better off just to kind of cut things back. And lay a bit of mulch on the top of it.
So not even planting shrubs, trees, hedging?
You can. This is a perfect time for planting bare root trees and shrubs and anything in a pot that you want to get out in the garden. It's also a great time for moving stuff. If you're moving things like conifers, leave it to the back end of, I suppose it's called the dormant season, so February time for conifers. They prefer just another little bit of kind of warmth. Don't we all? And they're shallow rooters. So if you're digging them up, they have a shallow root. They don't particularly like to be moved after maybe 7 or so years. So if you're have put it in the wrong place, think quickly over the, you know, the years and get it out of there and move it.
Alwyn would like to know if it's too late to plant spring bulbs. I think you've been asked this every time you've come in over winter.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, it's they're better in the ground than in your shopping bag in the garage. I mean, that's the truth. And get them in the ground and they will be encouraged. If we get a kind of a colder snap now in the next week, over the weekend, and then we get a warmer snap, they'll think it's spring. So they'll start to come up. And even if they're a little bit green at the moment, just put them in, put them in the ground. Yeah.
And another listener wants us to remember that it's one of the toughest months for the garden birds. And if you're tidying up, you might be removing the important sources of food and shelter.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I have 3 or 4 compost bays. I also have an area where that's, you know, I close the door on it and it's out the very back of the garden. And that's full of lovely places for insects and birds and everything.
So you have places for them.
Loads of places.
Speaking of birds, Cathy, it's a good time of the year to spot the starlings when they're performing their beautiful murmurations. And you saw a murmuration recently yourself.
Yeah, I actually did, Claire. And I actually couldn't believe it, because I've longed to see a murmuration, and I've been watching those beautiful photographs and videos that have been captured at places like Loch Ennell, and I've seen starlings. There's a tree very close to me that starlings whip in and out of. But I was actually going to the beach at dusk the other evening, just with the dog, and we were going over this back road to Coldaff Bay, and I saw something sort of moving in the corner of my eye, and the sky was all candy coloured and orange and lit up in the most beautiful glow, and something stopped me and I looked out and I could see something moving, and it was a murmuration. And I stopped the car and I pulled in, and I didn't even get the camera out to try and photograph it. I just watched, and I took those few moments of just awe, really.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful. You know, I thought I was seeing one about a week ago, but it was just a gang of crows.
The crows are very active as well. Yeah. But what's really interesting is the starlings now, you know, our own native starlings have been joined by starlings from Russia, Finland and Estonia. And, you know, while they're here, you know, they'll go in these beautiful shapes. And when I was reading a little bit about it, it's for warmth. It's for protection from sparrowhawks and everything else. But there's something about it that's, you know, I suppose we're talking about dark days of January and getting out. And for me, it was just this sign of hope in the collective, you know, the power of togetherness. And I suppose we humans can learn from that as well, because we can all feel really disconnected, you know, from what's going on in the world, and we can feel powerless. But, you know, when you see something like that, you remember the power of the collective and the power of nature to kind of lift us, and the wonder and awe of it. And it actually just stays with you. I mean, I'll never forget that scene, and just sometimes put the phone down and don't even try and just witness it and bear witness to something that is so awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it's an amazing sight, and it's an amazing feat watching the birds perform this thing. Mm. It's stunning, and you're right, put the phone away, you know, just enjoy it.
Sometimes it doesn't actually capture the what you're seeing in front of you.
You're
it
right.
really doesn't, yeah. you know.
Now, back to questions which are coming in the whole way through as we're speaking. Martin wants to know, how and when do I fertilise raised beds with fruit trees?
Fruit trees. So this is the best kind of time. You're getting it. The ground hasn't frozen solid yet. I mean, I'm hoping that we're not going to get a bang of frost. So now is the best time. You lay it on the top. And don't put it too close to the stem of maybe raspberry canes or fruiting trees, just close enough, but a little bit further away from the actual stem or the trunk, and lay it on. And the worms will bring it down. You don't have to be digging in or doing anything like that. It'll be brought into the ground by the worms.
Our friends.
That's what they're there for. Yeah.
And is it a good time for pruning those fruit bushes as well that people
so,
might have?
February is kind of your traditional. So if it's raspberry canes, autumn fruiting raspberry canes, you're going to do them in February. If it's plums or all those sort of things, you do them after flowering. You don't do them now. So you wait until after flowering.
And Cathy, on the trees, they can look a bit naked and sad and they're all asleep. But you're saying we should have a closer look, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I was out the other morning in the woods, and I was just looking. And if you look closely, they're not. Yeah, they're standing starkly against that morning sunlight. But if you look really closely, you'll see they're all in bud now. The birch trees, and what I think are particularly amazing, are the sycamore trees. Now, sycamores are one of our most they're most popular trees, and they have a really distinctive leaf. One of the biggest leaves of any of the trees, it's usually a 5 or 3-lobed leaf, like a 5 points on it, you know. They're related to the maple tree, but they're incredible because they start out right now, they're tiny, hard, sort of greenish buds. But if you look closely, it's folded, it's a folded bud. And what happens with the sycamore leaf is it starts to pop out little by little. So it's kind of like an origami that sort of opens up. And what I do, I started this little project last just around this time last year, and it's really nice for kids to get involved, perhaps, Claire. Photograph the bud, you know, and photograph it every day, the same bud, you know, and go back to it if you can, and then you can see the sort of the magic unfolding. And it's a beautiful way to actually just go out and see the same tree, and it brings that relationship with the tree into your life, because you can see how it's changing. It's not just standing there in your garden, it's actually moving and changing and adapting, and things are happening. When you're out in the garden looking at your tree, you're going to see birds, you're going to feel it, you know. And that's the beauty of nature, is it's not just witnessing it from behind your window.
And that's, you know, when it is a good idea to document with your camera as well,
beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me, do you feed the birds now at this stage of the year?
I do, Claire, because what's interesting is as the days lengthen from the solstice, and they have been, everybody's talking now about the grand stretch, and there definitely is, I think, a wee stretch in the evenings for sure, but the birds are getting hungrier, you know, and they're also coming into spring, and they're going to need all that energy for breeding and mating and building nests and whatnot. So this is actually a really, really tricky time for birds. And if we get a sharp ground frost, which, you know, we still could, then the birds are going to be, they're not going to get their food. So, yeah, I mean, Birdwatch Ireland would say it's really, really important to continue to feed them. You know, the robin loves mealworms, the goldfinch, some smaller seeds. The blue tits love the peanuts, you know, and those suet balls are great for energy at this time of year as well.
Mm. Well, if the birds are listening, Cathy, they'll all be heading to your garden.
There's plenty of them. I see a load of finches out there right now, and they're going mad for the seed that we just put out.
We have a new homeowner, relatively new homeowner, who has texted us, who's never had a garden before, Mari, and they've loads of weeds, including those that have come up through the mulch in the front garden. And they just want general advice on how to get started now for the year, just to get a bit more garden proud. So a very basic start.
I mean, it's a great time to be weeding anyway, because if you can get the perennial weeds out now, so thistles and biggish weeds like that,
hardy ones.
The other ones, I mean, can go from seed to flowering within 4 weeks, some of them. So you have to keep on it. Mulch is, they say, you know, we'll put mulch on it or mypex and gravel, but seed connect to the ground in any way they can. They're very opportunistic. So if you want kind of a weed-free mulch area, you need to get out and just a little bit every day, but get the perennial weeds out now.
So planning, though, you know, from a standing start for a garden there.
Trees. So that's probably the most important part of a garden. It anchors a garden. It gives it maturity. So if you can put in a couple of trees, they don't have to be big trees, maples, there's a lovely tuyas. So if you're looking for a conifer, tuyas would be lovely. So it's just to get those ones in, because that makes a garden a bit more mature. And at the moment, this is the perfect time for putting them in. So
yeah,
trees
but
first.
But you've got to plan that well, haven't you?
You do, yeah. So if you're looking for a bit of shade, you know, and you've got a south-facing garden, you know, a nice bit of shade. People say, forget about shade and to sit under a nice tree in the summer. So think about it and think about what you want to screen out. because if you have overlooking neighbours, maybe you want to have a little bit of privacy with the tree, and you might need a conifer of some note because it's going to screen you all year round, whereas one that's deciduous will obviously lose its leaves.
And you don't want to be in a situation where you put those trees in, that's your starting point, and then you're moving them.
Yeah, no. So think about it, draw it out. I mean, it's always great to draw a picture and have a look at what's, you know, on Instagram or Pinterest or whatever it is. And, you know, there's no shame in copying. You know, just have a look and decide, I really like that and that's where I'm going to put it. Get the name of it. And I mean, there's great apps now where you take a photograph of a tree that maybe you've seen on a walk. You've done a little walk.
And you can find out what it is.
And you can find out what it is, yeah.
Mari, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Lovely to see you as always. Mari Staunton Gardner and author and journalist Cathy Donaghy. Thank you both for joining me today on the programme. Let's go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.